Opinions stated by various contributors to Faces of Success Radio and its radio programs are not to be considered as endorsed by Faces of Success Radio. Visitors are urged to use their own discernment to draw their own conclusions. All information, products, services, and use of this website is for personal use only. FacesOfSuccessRadio.com does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained with the website. Any services or products provided by Faces of Success Radio and its host contributors should be used solely for entertainment and enjoyment. We emphasize the importance of keeping an open mind and not construing the data, products, and/or services as factual. And as always, we thank you for
Hey, babies, how y'all doing? It's Graham to the Emmy, bringing you that raspberry, strawberry, peach, mango, chamomile, and green, and my personal favorite, sweet tea from McDonald's. Let's dip into this here gossip. All right, now here we go. For my sports fans, here's a little da-da-da-da-da update. The Knicks and Lakers had the NBA's most valuable teams in 2017. Again, the New York Knicks and Lakers had the NBA's most valuable teams in 2017. The hardwood might as well be paved with gold. The average National Basketball Association franchise is now worth $1.36 billion and 3.5-fold increase over the last 5 years. Fueling the gains are the NBA's $24 billion media deal with ESPN and TNT that kicks off this season, a new collective bargaining agreement ensuring 7 years of labor peace and massive international opportunities. Leading the way are a pair of big market franchises mired in dysfunction, the New York Knicks and the LA Lakers. Pair have lost 68% of their games over the past 3+ seasons, but business-wise, it seems that they can do no wrong. The Knicks are in total disarray with the media and Twitter war between Carmelo Anthony and President Phil Jackson, while beloved ex-Knicks Charles Oakley gets thrown out of Madison Square Garden and former malcontent Latrell Spiro is now BFFs with owner James Dolan. Despite the turmoil, the Knicks are the NBA's most valuable team for the second straight year, with $3.3 billion, up 10% of last year. The Knicks have been shut out of the playoffs since 2013, but they are reaping the rewards of $1 billion renovations of Madison Square Garden, which produce new revenue opportunities from sponsorships and seeding. The team turned an NBA record operating profit of $141.5 million last season, despite the 32-50 tally on the hardwood. It was the first season the team's new local cable deal with MSG, which paid $100 million in a year one. Well, that's what's going on, babies, because we know there's been a lot of scandals and controversy with both teams, but especially in particular with, you know, the LA Lakers. And they've been having all types of different rivalries and things of that sort with other teams. So to see that fight there, 68% of losing their games, they're still making a large profit in regards to merchandising, seating, and all types of carrying on. Because no matter what, there are some dedicated fans out here. It truly is. Some really seriously dedicated fans to these teams. So the fact that they're making a profit is amazing. The Lakers are worth $3 billion up to 11%. Last season was worth in franchise history on the court, but the team still made a mint as fans flocked to the Staples Center to see Kobe Bryant's retirement tour. The team sold out Staples per usual with courtside seats that cost $2,750 per game. Bryant's final game featured $1.2 million worth of Kobe's merchandise sold at the Staples Center, setting a one-day sales record for the arena. And the Lakers banked $119 million in profit, second most behind the Knicks. So, as you can see, no matter what may go wrong, they got some dedicated fans. Well, here's an update, on President-elect Donald Trump. Trump kicks off his 2020 re-election campaign this Saturday. So we're going to talk about that for a minute out. The president is taking the permanent campaign to new levels with a political rally in Florida, the latest sign that he's already planning for the second term. Trump's 2017 campaign was a work in virtuoso improvisation, even though it seemed to be in permanent chaos with frequent changes in leadership, perpetual gaffes, and strategy devised on the fly. The Republican managed to defeat the elaborate best and brightest data walk team of Hillary Clinton. If the early indications hold, it doesn't look like Trump is going to improvise so much again in 2020. In fact, he's kicking the campaign off this Saturday with a rally in Melbourne, Florida. And he tweets, "Come join me this Saturday at 5 p.m., a rally at the Orlando-Melbourne International Airport." Well, we'll do the math for you. That means Trump is hosting his first rally of the 2020 campaign just 29 days into his presidency. The idea of a permanent campaign has been floating around in American political circles since the 1980s, when Sidney Blumenthal used it as a title for a book. It was during the presidency of Bill Clinton who Blumenthal advertised, and that the idea really came into practice. Even by the standards of modern-day presidents, Clinton loved politicking, and the team helped him to campaign methods onto the White House, famously calling the polling to help determine its cause. Yet Trump's choice to hold a campaign rally less than a month into his presidency breaks new ground, where his predecessors practiced electoral politics between cycles, none are willing to do so badly as quickly as Trump. Barack Obama realized, like Trump, that he thrived off large audiences, and he made liberal use of the major speeches, even early in his term in February 2009. Trump, by contrast, is planning a straightforward campaign style on a rally on Saturday. It's at an airport in a swing state, and it's being advertised through his campaign website. His press secretary even called it a campaign event. Well, we all know Trump is a businessman, and this man strategizes in how to create views, how to bring in an audience, and how to bring in money, as always. So we already know that Trump overall is going to try his dear old hardest to make as much money and bring in the audience and the votes premeditated before 2020. The man is smart, but at the same time, there has been issues with his presidency, especially with finding out that the systems were hacked during the election and how everything turned over into his hands and in his favor. So you never know. The tables may turn on Trump. You really never, never, never know. Moving on to another article before we get into another song here, highly requested. And, of course, we have our exclusive interview coming up with the amazing soulful artist, C.C. James. She'll be later on in the studio just in a few minutes for an exclusive interview. So make sure you dial that number 323-642-1569 to tune in to our tunes as well as the exclusive interview. Kanye West reportedly suffered from memory loss following recent hospitalization. Kanye West suffered from memory loss following his 2016 hospitalization, according to rap collaborators. Malik Yusuf, who has worked with West on hits such as All of the Lights, Promised Land, spoke to Pop Sugar at the Grammy Awards on Sunday when he provided an update on his... "I've been at his house and sat down with him for 6-7 hours just walking through his health and recovery," Yusuf said. "His memory is coming back, which is super good, and he's just healing and spending time with family. Saint, which is his little boy, his youngest child, is getting big and walking, playing with toys, so that invigorates Kanye." Yusuf also confirmed that West is not working on any music at the moment. West was hospitalized November 24th last year after police responded to a report altercation between West and another person at the home of his personal trainer. The Life of Pablo rapper was reportedly experiencing temporary psychosis causing by dehydration and sleep deprivation. West is embroiled in controversy in the days leading up to his hospitalization. He went on a 15-minute rant last year at his concert in Sacramento about Beyonce, Hillary Clinton, DJ Khaled, and a few more other names. But let's pray and let's say yay to the fact that he is making a stable and swift recovery. I'm so glad that he's finally getting his sanity back together because, you know, dehydration and sleep deprivation is nothing to play about. You got to make sure your health is on point. And I understand that he is big with his fans and he's dedicated to his fans, but at the same time, you got to worry about self sometimes. You got to make sure that your personal well-being is on point just as much as anything else going on around you, as well as your people and your staff. You take care of yourself. All right, babies, let's get into some music and get into some more gossip. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the possibility of O.J. Simpson being released early this summer, this year. All right, babies, we'll be right back after this song here. And tune in for the exclusive interview with amazing soulful artist C.C. James. Some quick tea. All right, now, babies, as I said, there's a possibility that Mr. O.J. Simpson, legal expert says O.J. could be released from prison this summer. All right, then, babies. O.J. Simpson has been incarcerated at the Lovelock Correctional Center in Nevada since 2008 after being sentenced to 33 years in prison, all stemming from an incident at a Las Vegas hotel room from which Simpson attempted to forcibly reclaim memorabilia. The former Bills star and Hall of Fame running back, now 70, was charged with a found guilty of 12 counts, including conspiracy, burglary, robbery, kidnapping, and assault with a deadly weapon. This summer, he may get out early, according to analysis from Sports Illustrated legal and analyst and University of New Hampshire law professor Michael McCannon. He said the decision to grant parole is by definition discretionary, but it is a decision that Thomas Patton, a former chairman of the parole board in Nevada, stresses in conducting through a very comprehensive review, weighed 11 largely objective factors between negative 1 and plus positive 2 points are allocated from the criterion. Inmates exceeding 5 points are classified as a medium or high risk or unlikely to be granted parole, and fewer than 5 points an odd swing in the way. In 2013, Simpson scored 3 points, falling into the low risk. He seems likely to do well in 2017. Okay, Dan. The factors in the point system are the age and time of the first arrest, 0 points, prior probation or parole, 0 points, employment history, 0 points, offensive leading to current or prior convictions, 2 points, history or drug or alcohol use, 0 points or 1 point, gender is 1 point, current age is negative 1 point, active gang membership, 0 points, disciplinary write-ups, negative 1 points, and custody, 0 points. So, unfortunately, we got to get ready for the CC James exclusive interview right here on Faces of Success Radio. But there will be more details. We're going to keep y'all updated furthermore into his release. I love y'all, sugars, and let's get back into some more tunes. Make sure y'all dial that hotline, 323-642-1569. Again, 323-642-1569.
Love y'all, baby. Unexpected. Small child dimensional. Am I leaving? Unexpected now.
I've ever known was like the kiss on a collarbone, the soft caress of happiness. The way you are, your style of dress, I wish I didn't get so weak. Oh, oh. Ooh, baby, just to hear you makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen, a queen upon her throne. Was it sweet, sweet, sweetest thing I've known? I get mad when you walk away, so I tell you leave when I mean stay. Warm as the sun, dipped in black, fingertips on small of my back. More valuable than all. But then again, I'm not alone. It was a sweet thing I've known. It was a
presents the 2017 Old School Celebrity Red Carpet Gala and Benefit Concert, Saturday, May 6, 2017. Nominees and performances by GQ.
I do love you, but it's
Howard Hewitt.
For the lover can do the dream.
Girl,
I'm gonna make this the night. Remember that. Get ready, get ready tonight. I'm gonna make this the night. Remember that.
Club Nouveau. Radio. And John John of Troop. Barge. With many more surprise special guests and appearances by Viola Gay and special honors going to Marvin Gaye. Tickets are available now. Group room rates available at the DoubleTree Hotel in Ontario, California, using our group code, J. Michaels. That's the 2017 Old School Celebrity Red Carpet Gala and Benefit Concert at the California Education Performing Arts Center, located at 11255 Central Avenue in Ontario, California. For more information and to get your tickets, go to jmichaelsteamentertainment.com or facesofsuccessradio.com. Proceeds to benefit the Cancer Society for Children and Youth Helpers. This advertisement was brought to you by Nye Airwaves Youth Radio on facesofsuccessradio.com.
All right, everyone, it is time for our exclusive interview portion of the show. Good evening, good evening. It is your girl, Nye, host of the amazing show, Nye Airwaves, every Friday, 5 to 7, Pacific, 8 to 10 Eastern, on Faces of Success Radio. But now it is time for our exclusive interview with the amazing and soulful songstress by the name of CeCe James. Let's introduce her one time. CeCe performance claim to fame with her fans has been raw and real, which has been the key into every heart. There's no pretense. There's no posing. There's no perfection. What there is a bare, aching human vulnerability and understanding of the journey we all are on within the stories and the songs and within the understanding heart flowing through her voice, whether in concert, giving a talk or workshop, and sitting in a personal one-on-one session. CeCe's lyrics and performances all reflect the truth. This knowing, this reality, and in the core of it all is her album, The Mission of Soul, Surrendering, Opening, Unblocking Love. Driven from birth to perform, sing, and give the fire in her soul, driven by self-seeking motives from wounds that produce deep insecurities, life never unfolded like CeCe thought it should. Awards, reviews, touring the U.S. and Europe, and still just rewards was grace to finally reach surrender and the truth. Her songs and writings holding the stories, the keys, the lessons, and the growth. Now the path has turned inward, unleashing and exposing all that she shares, the messages and lessons, working to allow love to guide her in every move, in her every thought, and every spoken word. Say no more. Let's cue her into the studio. Please welcome CeCe James. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being in the studio. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm honored to be here. I'm just grateful. It's wonderful to be interviewed and get out there on the webways for everybody to check out and hear the music. It just really helps.
Of course. So I gave a little bit of info about you, but please introduce yourself and tell us who CeCe James really is.
Oh, let's see. What do I want to say? Everything that has happened in my life has brought me to this point, and I can stand here today and say that I'm a true woman who has confidence in what she does and the gifts that God is bringing through me. It's only because of that great spirit that runs us all that I'm able to do what I do, and it's a wonderful release of the soul, of the stories of the soul, and we need to be able to release our stories, our life. Without that, we isolate and we suffocate. So it's
right.
Just been a journey. I've been on it since I was a kid. I was always driven to sing and perform and to give. And I was looking back at my life a little bit, and I was like, wow, I've always been after this. So it must be something that's meant to be. So that's a little bit more for you.
All right. So the name of your most recent project is The Mission of Soul, Surrendering, Opening, and Unblocking Love. Would you say that is your ultimate message that you choose to depict in your music?
Yeah, I think so, because, again, by telling our stories, by sharing with each other, by realizing that we're all just doing the best we can on this path, artists, especially artists, singers, and performers, you know, allow everybody in the audience to realize that
right.
you can open your heart, you can surrender, you can just be who you are. Let's open up that love and get past all the BS, you know. So, yeah, that's what it is.
Right. And how would you define your style of music, because you have such a rich tone to your voice, and of course I'm going to play music for all the listeners to hear, but you have such a rich quality to your voice, and you could be defined in any different genre or even undefined because your voice is so multidimensional. But how would you depict your music?
Well, it's been kind of a struggle, because when we write, our bass core is like a blues foundation, but we find that we're writing, you know, in all kind of different directions, and so I would say we've been calling it roots blues, where, you know, it's from the root of the soul, from the roots goes back, way back, the old roots rock that came from blues. Mm-hmm. I guess I would just call it roots blues.
Roots blues. That's powerful. It really is. And with every artist's struggle, we all find our roots, our foundation, our solid ground. And what do you think really gave you your roots, your foundation, as far as training and inspiration? And what really made you want to plant your roots into music?
Well, probably, I think every artist comes in as an artist, and it's like your life then begins to unfold who you are into that artistry. Took me quite a few years to really find my voice, to find that rhythm, to find that, mm-hmm. you know, that root. And life, as it brought me the challenges, because I was born into a family where my father wouldn't acknowledge me and wouldn't even look at me, and that causes a deep wound within a child when one of the parents mm-hmm. doesn't give love. So that, as I've realized, was the first wound to my heart that actually turned out to be a gift, because it cut my heart and it caused me to really want to express and really want to reach people. And it started with a wound that was trying to prove to the world that I was okay, you know, because my dad did not accept me. So in my little heart, I thought, mm-hmm. I'm going to prove to my dad that I'm okay. You know, I've got to prove to everyone that everybody became my dad.
Right.
I had to prove to everyone. So that was the first thing. So I think that as you go through life, your life just keeps bringing you circumstances that form who you are as an artist, form your voice, form your soul. You flesh out your bones, and that's what you end up giving.
And as an artist, it's kind of traditional, so to speak, just for a lack of better words, for artists to wear their hearts on their sleeves for their supporters and their fans, to really get the authenticity of who they are, because a lot of people don't understand that artists are still people in
yeah.
any way, shape, or form. They're still people overall. It's not just the flashing lights and the stages and the costumes and the makeup. It's real people giving you real parts of themselves.
Indeed. I've been known to be extremely vulnerable on stage, sharing everything. I wouldn't be a good politician because I share too much stuff. I'm telling the truth, uh-huh. you know, about my life and myself. And a lot of times people will be out in the audience and it'll be like deers in the headlight, because I think that they're just kind of shocked that I'm sharing so much of myself. And, mm-hmm. you know, we all have stuff, but artists, you know, we bring it to the max. We bring whatever there is in our hearts out in an extreme way, I guess you might say, in our songs and whatever we're doing as an artist. And people are just like, wow, I'm not really used to hearing it like that. But, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Right. And I think that's what's strongly depicted in one of your songs, Love Done Left Home. And we're actually going to play that in the studio right here. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Miss Cece, to introduce your song from your album, The Mission of Soul, Love Done Left Home.
Yeah, this is Love Done Left Home from Stripped Down and Surrendered.
All right, everybody. As Miss Cece said, this is Love Done Left Home.
Like the rising and falling
right, everyone, we are back. Just gave you a little bit of a taste of Love Done Left Home. Miss Cece, are you still in the studio with us?
I am still here.
All right. So I definitely hear the bluesy inspiration in Love Done Left Home. But let's talk about your next upcoming projects. What's next for Miss Cece James?
Well, to tell you the truth, here's where the human part comes in that you were talking about earlier. We are people, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have lives, and we have to get some jobs. So my husband, his Rob, who plays guitar and bass on the latest CD, he's gotten a job, and he's actually having to do some training for it. And I'm still looking and praying every day that God brings me one, because we're people, and we got to pay our bills. So we've been working this business for a long time, and we've spent all our money on it. So now we got to get a job so we can continue. But my hope is, well, my dream is that we get jobs and we can get us a little studio to continue to write and do some filming of videos for our fans. And we have some shows this year, but the main thing is to get out there and get jobs and put the food on the table. But we've already got a couple of new songs in the works. So music never dies, even if you have to be people and go about your business and, you know, pay the bills.
Right. Absolutely. So your husband is involved in the music as well. Did you guys meet through music, or was
it
just another love story? Really? So tell us about that.
We did. My second husband had died of cancer, and I had moved to Oregon State, and I went to a gig one night, and it was about a year and a half after my second man had died, and I was really not interested in anyone, and he was playing bass on stage, and I wasn't feeling well that night, so I really wasn't too interested in much. But a friend wanted me to go see this band because they thought that I might be interested in the bass player and the drummer, maybe for a new band I might be putting together. So he gave me his card, and at the end of the show, and little did I know, he had been smitten. He had kind of fallen head over heels with me, but I didn't even notice. Yeah, so the love story started, and he joined my band, and we kind of kicked it around for a little bit, but we didn't really make any commitment. And then finally, I just couldn't take it anymore because I really liked him. And I told him, look, I really like you. We got to do something here. We got to check this out. And you know,
absolutely,
I have to tell you that the bar had been set really high, as far as that my second husband was a very special person. So I really wasn't into thinking about a man was ever going to do it for me again. But this man has been a real blessing. He's a musician. We write songs together. We're just made for each other, and I'm very blessed. I don't know what I did right.
Oh, that's beautiful. So we have your hubby on bass. And who else is comprised of the whole family or the whole band?
Well, actually on this CD, Rob, my husband, played most of the guitars and the bass. And we had a drummer that was he was actually the engineer in the studio. And then we had two keyboard players come in, and the drummer also did some percussion, and I did some percussion. I did all the background vocals, and so it was more of a close-to-home project. The CD before this one, we went down to Tennessee and worked with a big producer, but this one we did ourselves.
That's amazing, and the fact that you have such radio-ready quality in your music, that's absolutely amazing. And it just proves to people that because everybody gets caught up in the record labels and wanting to be signed, but you can do a lot of things on your own. It takes time, as you said, and of course being a normal person sometimes. But if you're really passionate about it, just like yourself, it doesn't even matter. The sky's the limit.
Yeah, we did a fundraiser, and our fans completely funded the thing. I mean, we couldn't have done it without the fans funding the CD project. And they funded the last one as well for us, about three quarters of the last one. And this one they funded it all. It was just a miracle because, you know what, we're really doing what we're supposed to be doing with the music. And God knew that we couldn't get it done without help. And so we couldn't do it without our fans. And I think the independent artist is the way to go. I don't know about the big Hollywood deal. I don't think it plays out. I think you can have much more artistic freedom and control if you have the, you know, the ability to do it. You got to really work. You know, it's not easy.
Absolutely. So who are some of your musical inspirations that influenced you to become this soulful, jazzy, raspy voice of yours? Who inspired you? Well, who are some of your inspirations, rather?
Well, let's see. I would say Chaka Khan and Rufus was a big inspiration for me. I sang. Yeah, I love that. Tina Turner, the old Tina Turner, you know, when she was with Ike. Let's see, who else? Gosh darn it, it was right on the tip of my tongue. Darn it, I can't. It left
That's
my brain.
Right.
Anything from the 70s, blues rock kind of stuff. Just there was a lot of different variety in the 70s. The 80s was kind of a dry time for me. I loved Bill Withers and the Temptations and all the old soul. That really got to me. And the church that I went to was also a huge inspiration when I was a little girl. I went to a full-blown Pentecostal, just crazy church, and they had a choir like the Aretha Franklin choir, and I loved it. Amazing, and it really influenced me.
Awesome. So you're really into, even through your music, you can hear the gritty, the soul, the overall raw emotion of what music is supposed to be. You understand what I'm saying? So that's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
And
we have another soulful song of yours. You're welcome, definitely. We have Before 30 Sun. So what inspired you to create this song as well?
I'm really glad you asked me that because I really like this song. It's I wanted to tell the world, in my way, what a woman and a man should be to each other. You know, if you treat me like your queen, I'm going to treat you like my king. You know, if you treat a woman right, you're going to be her king. You know what I'm talking about?
All right. Yes, definitely.
So that's basically what it's about.
Exactly. Hello, method. Yes, I love that. So we're going to play a little bit of 30 Sun, Before 30 Sun, and let's all tune in our hearts and our ears and our minds and prepare for Miss Cece James, Before 30 Sun.
Heart to make you sweet.
right, everyone. We are back. We are back with a few minutes to spare. So, Miss Cece, we have the Mission of Soul album out and available. Where can we purchase your music at?
You can purchase it from my website, which takes you to the CD Baby link or iTunes or, you know, it's all over the web. Just put in, you know, Cece James and the Mission of Soul. And it's probably also at some local retailers because we do have worldwide distribution through Burnside Distribution Corporation in Portland, Oregon. So they get it all over the place. So I don't know how many people go to retail stores these days, but it is all over the web.
Definitely. So you have an official website, and how else can we keep up with you? Do you have your social media sites, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for all the fans?
Yeah, I have Facebook and Twitter, and also if, you know, I really strongly, if a person is a real fan, have them sign up for my monthly email newsletter, and it tells us, you know, tells the fans what's going on, where we're going to be playing, and other special things in the newsletter. And they can sign up when they go to our website. A little box will come up and invite them to sign up for the newsletter. So, yeah, it's not hard to find us.
All right, that's C-E-E-C-E-E James and the Mission of Soul. All right, thank you so much, Miss Cece, for being in the studio. And one more question before you leave us. What's some advice that you would give to upcoming artists in the industry?
Just go for it. All your lessons in your life and your soul and your artistic work will be on that path. And you'll be challenged to the end of yourself. But if you're a true artist and you must have it, and you must get to that point where you know, want to make it in your own way, whatever
mm-hmm.
that means, you just have to go for it no matter what. And just learn all you can. There's no excuse. It's all over the web. You can learn whatever you need to on the web, and you can find people to help you, and, you know, There's just no excuse, because you don't have to rely on the big corporations anymore. You can get online and start to do it yourself.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Cece, and we will continue to support you as much as we possibly can, and I can't wait for the new music that you're coming out with.
Well, you're just amazing, little host, and thank you so much. You've been joyful and very thorough, and I really appreciate your questions.
Absolutely. All right, everyone, that is the amazing, soulful, and jazzy Cece James. Check her out on her official website, missionofsoul.com, and make sure you purchase their music and songs just like this. And the last song we will be playing of Miss Cece's is Thank You for Not Loving Me. Again, from the amazing and soulful Cece James, Thank You for Not Loving Me.
You never took me in your arms or cocooned in my face. You never smiled when you saw me running toward you when I wanted to play. You told my mama when I looked at you, get her out of my face. But you know I have to thank you, thank you. I want to thank you for those days. Yes, I want to thank you. Thanking you for now. Age of three, I had
getting no idea what was going on around me. When mama yelled and cried, something felt so wrong. But now I have to thank you.
Don't miss out on the 2017 Old School Celebrity Red Carpet Gala Benefit, Saturday, May 6th, 2017, in Ontario, California, on behalf of St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital and Youth Helpers, honoring Marvin Gaye with a Marvin Gaye Music Extravaganza and performances by GQ, Howard Hewitt, Chico DeBarge, Radio, Carl Carlton, and Club Nouveau. Get your tickets now at facesofsuccessradio.com or jmichaelsteamentertainment.com. Dress code enforced and VIP seating available.